Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.
It's Joe Gilly. You guys with us. 215-592-9494. Lot to get into on the show today. What If Wednesday Daily Mock. We're going to have a mock-off later. Hugh and I are going to do our mock draft, see who's more accurate. And, of course, we'll update on Ask Out Trout. A lot of Eagles discussion. Yeah, I can't wait for the mock-off at 1 o'clock. So we have a lot of discussion on this Eagles draft here. And we thought, you know what, we throw out our opinions. Let's get an opinion, some opinions, from someone who knows, who did this for a long time.
Did
now
it
he
for
does
a long
it.
Time.
NFL Network, former Eagles scout, worked for the Giants. Mark Ross joins us right now. How you doing, Mark?
Mark.
What's up? Joe, this is for you, not for Hugh. I'm not doing this. I'm just doing this for the station. None of this has to do with Hugh Douglas.
You know what? I appreciate you doing it for Joe. But, Mark, I got to ask you, man, because we used to have these debates all the time back in the day. But I'm curious to how you feel that this NFL is going nowadays. I've been on the mindset, or have been the mindset, that nowadays defenses are luxuries, not necessities anymore, because you're paying your $200 million quarterback to go out there and win football games for you. How do you feel about that?
Yeah, the luxury of get one stop or two stops, you know, nothing more to be said than the Eagles last Super Bowl they won. They got one stop in the game. That's all they needed. So, of course, it's so quarterback-driven. You got to score points. You got to put your money, invest the money in the quarterback, and then you got to invest the resources to make sure that said quarterback, wherever you draft him, has a support foundation to make it work. And we can look at just last year's draft and Bryce Young getting thrown into that mess there, and he was all by himself as opposed to C.J. Stroud and how they surrounded him. So, yeah, it's all about the QB, making sure they're supported on the field and off the field with coaching. And, of course, you have to play some defense, and but just those days of we can just go destroy you on our defense and make a couple plays on offense, it's kind of flipped where – you just got to get through the game. And that all is a trickle up from how colleges are playing, where you watch how those colleges just score points, and then you just make a couple plays, key plays on defense to win it.
So, Mark, let's take what you just said and make it specific to the Eagles here. So they have a lot on offense. They have two $25 million-a-year wide receivers. They have Dallas Goedert. They signed Saquon Barkley. We were talking this morning about the idea that's out there that maybe they would draft another wide receiver early or maybe even move up for Brock Bowers. I'm under the belief, Mark, they have a lot of weapons around Jalen Hurts. Now it's time to go fix this defense, who was second worst in the NFL last year, allowing passing touchdowns. Eagles-specific, Mark, when you look at this roster, could you make the case for another weapon, or do you think it's got to be now? Let's add a little bit to that defense in this draft.
Yeah, that's when you're so unbalanced as the Eagles are seem to be right now constructed. Yes, you have to help the defense. If you're looking at that offense, you're saying, yep, we can score with anybody. We have the quarterback, we've got enough playmakers, we've got the O-line, that we can go score with anybody. Who do we have on the D to close games? That's what I'm talking about, the defense. Because who's going to close a game for you? And is there anybody you're really looking at right now and saying, well, Bryce Huff can close a game? We don't know. He's rotational. Our young guys, Carter and Davis, they haven't shown to do it consistently. So, yeah, I'm looking at the Eagles' D and saying we just can't get bludgeoned for the whole season and expect to just outscore everybody. We need somebody to close the game in some kind of way. So whether that's up front with another pass rusher, whether, of course, we need – you need corners as well. You can't trot Bradbury out there again and say, just go pick on him. So corner could be a need as well. So I'm looking at when they're so unbalanced with such talent on the offense, now we need some more on the defense to get somebody to close games out for us.
You know what, Mark, with that being said, when you talk about, you know, the reinstatement of Isaiah Rodgers and, you know, the fact that you had Kelee Ringo there, wouldn't you be more of the mindset, say if you were here and you were part of the Philadelphia Eagles and you've seen those guys, would you kind of give them a chance or would you go into the draft and probably bring another, like, young corner here, like a Quinyon Mitchell or somebody like that?
It just depends on how the draft falls to you, Hugh. If there's a player there, you're saying we just can't pass him up, then you've got to take him. Now, if you've got an edge or in a corner of the same value that you've talked about through all these draft meetings, then you go with maybe the edge. But it's just all about how it falls to you and what the comfort level is with the young guys that you've invested in. So you can never go into the draft saying this is exactly what's going to happen. You go into it with a game plan. You talk, you meet, and saying, okay, these are our needs. These are the players we really like. If they're in the right range for us, then we go. Then we'll get them or make a move. You know, Howie, of course, we know is going to make a move. I mean, that's maybe the certainty of the draft that he'll do something, and they may have their eye on one particular player saying we're going to invest to go get this player. And if not, if the draft comes to us, then we look at our young guys and balance out who we can draft versus who's on the roster now.
Mark Ross with us, former Eagle scout, now with NFL Network. Mark, I'm curious your evaluation, your thoughts on Cooper DeJean from Iowa. He's such an interesting player to me because he was so good, so productive in college. People say, is he really a corner? Is he a safety? All I know is every time I watch him, he made plays. He made plays on the ball and then took it back for touchdowns. He looks to me like a really good player. It's just a matter of what he can be and where he'll be his best in the NFL. What do you think of Cooper DeJean?
Yeah, those tweeners are tough, and it's always good to talk about those tweeners and saying, well, he can do this, he can do that, but in this positionless football name that's come up the last couple of years, you got to play a position. There is no positionless football. If the corner got to go cover somebody, a safety better go, you know, cover and tackle people, a DN better go rush the passer. So with Cooper, it's depending on how you see him. There's a lot of, is he a corner? Is he a safety? Is he good enough athlete to be a corner? Is he tough enough and big enough to be a safety? So he's in that tweener range, and I'm not crazy about him as far as just a prospect. I think he'll be a solid player. I think he'll be a good piece to a defense, but it's all about where to maximize what he does well. And I don't know if a lot of those highlight plays that he had, if you really break them down, was it really him just kind of, you know, being an outstanding player and making the most of it, or kind of falling in the right place, right time with that. So, he's okay for me. I know some people are higher and some people are lower. So he's kind of a lightning rod here in this draft process.
Mark, a lot of talk out there, maybe the Eagles take an offensive lineman because Lane Johnson's going to be 34 next month and have that contingency plan. But there's also a chance, if there's not injury, that that player kind of redshirts for a year, maybe more. What in draft rooms, how is it talked about? Because we always wonder, like, is it about need? Is it about down the line? Take us inside that balance between how teams try to do this, because I could get the idea of taking a contingency plan, but they're also trying to win the Super Bowl this next season.
Yeah, that's it. And depending on the stability of your front office and your coaching staff, a lot of these decisions are made to saying, we just better get somebody that's going to help us win now, as opposed to, well, we can take somebody knowing we're still going to be here a year or two down the line. So in the Eagles situation with Howie, who's shown to have stability there and trust with the ownership and probably going to be here, he can make decisions more so of, I don't have to just go be desperate and go get a guy right now who I think we absolutely need, as opposed to, okay, well, this player may not play, our first round pick may not play this year, he may play next year, we can get him ready. So there's a little bit more stability that Howie has to make those decisions. But all draft meetings, you're going to hear all throughout the draft, we took the best player on the board. No, you don't. No one takes the best player on the board. They take the best player on the board throughout the meetings that you talk about, with also matching your needs. You just don't want to overvalue players because you think you need that. So all of these teams talk about their specific needs and what can get them to the Super Bowl quicker rather than later, and also matched up again with what stage is that coaching staff and that personnel staff in to say, you better make something like the Jets. You better make something happen absolutely right now, or you're going to be gone next year. So the decisions they make this weekend are going to be about winning this season whereas the Eagles have a little bit more of leeway to say we can kind of take stuff for the future. You know, that being said, I think with the Eagles and the success they've had, you got to get over the hump now. Okay, you were in the Super Bowl, took a step back last year. You better do something to make it happen to go compete with the big dogs in the NFC.
Do you miss this time of year, Mark? Do you miss this time of year as far as getting ready for the draft and doing the big board and all the other good stuff? You miss that?
In some regards, yes. Some regards, Hugh, it was fun just being with the guys and, you know, hearing the coaches begging for players or scouts. That's not fun. But, no, it's always – and now I can just do this and I'll go do a different city later. I can solve every team's problems, you know, and on Monday, no one will care about what I said. But, you know, that pressure that you have to say you got to make it right every single time is – you know, there's nothing like that, but this is a lot of fun being on this end of it. But of course, you know, just kind of like you being in the locker room, there's nothing like being in the locker room, being in the draft room, just making it all happen throughout this weekend.
Yeah.
Mark, I'm curious what you think of this quarterback class, because just the way that it shakes out, it could affect the Eagles' future. A lot of these kids are likely to land in the NFC, starting with Caleb Williams, obviously going to go to the Bears one, maybe Jaden Daniels two to the Commanders. How good do you think this class is? And Mark, is the hype about Caleb Williams, do you think it's justified? Is he that good?
Yeah, I love Caleb, and I think he's going to be a star. And I know that they've been in Chicago. That might not be the best place in years and years and years of quarterback purgatory or quarterback hell, depending on your Bears fan and how you're looking at it. But, yeah, and then you got if Jaden goes to the Commanders, you're right there in the division. And I love Jaden, and I think there's – a closer gap between Caleb and Jaden than there is between Jaden and whoever you deem to be the third quarterback. I don't think Drake May or J.J. McCarthy or those sort of players who trade up and go get or mortgage the future for those sort of guys. If they fall into the right place for a team, you take a shot. And, you know, I think it's closer with the group of four, I call them, with May, J.J., Penix, and Knicks. I think they're much closer and grouped together in whatever kind of order you put them than it is between Caleb and Jaden. I think they separated themselves. And, you know, just, again, you bring up C.J. Stroud from last year. That shows you still one player, that quarterback, can completely change the organization. And, of course, that's where everybody is trying to get to.
Well, there's no doubt about that. The Texans were bad, and then all of a sudden they're in the divisional round, and now they could be really good again. Mark, we really appreciate you hopping. Appreciate you doing it for me, and obviously not for Hugh. We appreciate it, Mark.
Appreciate it, man. Appreciate it.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
All right, now. Anytime.
There he goes. Mark Ross, NFL Network, used to be here with the Eagles. So how about that? You thought you had him there, talking about offense.
But he did kind of validate what I was saying.
He did, but then he said Eagles specific, and he said, well, you got to balance this thing out a little bit.
Yeah, but he still didn't say, you know, he still kind of like, you know, made what I said valid by saying that, you know, you got to go out and get your quarterback as much help as you possibly can. So if Howie does go out and get a receiver, then, you know, I will be around here pounding my chest.
You will be for now. And then in September, when Jordan Love's putting up 40 against this defense Brazil.
This defense is going to put up points. That defense of the Green Bay Packers ain't world beaters either now. They're not that great.
They're not, but I imagine they're going to go defense in the first round because they need to even their team out the way we got to even this thing out. All right, 215-592-9494. It's how you hop aboard. Report this morning, Dan Graziano, ESPN, about the Eagles and what he's hearing out there. And the idea is they could move up for a pass catcher. Quote, one theory I found very interesting and potentially hilarious, they could move up for Brock Bowers or a wide receiver. Would you be upset if they did this for a pass catcher? I would. I just think it's overkill. They don't need it. They need a playmaker on the defensive side. I could even understand the idea of an offensive lineman to play guard or tackle down the line. I just don't think they need another weapon on offense.
I get that you think it's overkill. What if A.J. Brown gets injured? Like for an extended period of time, then it's not just overkill. It's also a contingency.
So it is. And that's why I'm not against the idea of them drafting a receiver relatively high. I just think the first round receiver is overkill. This is the best asset they have until a year from now.
Well, so then I guess the counter to that is like, what do you think the Eagles have a better chance of hitting on? An O-lineman late in the draft and a wide receiver early, or the reverse?
Well, I mean, they're not very good at drafting receivers anyway.
And they're great at drafting a lineman.
Yeah, but you know what? There's more receivers every year for the last 10 years. Everyone tells me it's the most historic wide receiver class.
And we never end up with one of them.
Well, except Devontae, you're right. But I mean, really, most NFL teams shake a tree in the draft, to use a Howard Eskin term, and they find a receiver.
Oh, you did not go there.
I'm telling you, receivers do to running back. Shake a tree, and you find one. Let's go to Scott in Washington Township. What's up, Scott?
Hey, not much.
I
would agree with you in the past, Joe, but I think that the way the league is now, the best quarterback, he scores every possession in the fourth quarter. If he has the lead, he makes sure the other team doesn't get it back. That's what you need. You need an offense that is unstoppable when it matters. And the only way to do that is have the most weapons or have Patrick Mahomes, which we're not going to get. So if we can score every time in the fourth quarter and keep the ball from the other team, we have the best chance to win.
See? That's how it works.
Well, it helps if you could do that. But, Scott, does another wide receiver guarantee scoring every time in the fourth quarter?
Yes.
Well, nothing guarantees everything, but obviously more weapons is better. I mean, you know what happens. They'll double AJ, like Q says. I mean, they can't.
Somebody's going to be open. Somebody's going to be open.
Someone better be open. Well, Scott, it's a fair point. I mean, yeah, and I think in general, I'm going to say this, and Hugh's going to probably say, see, I got you. And, Scott, we appreciate it. In general, I think you guys are on the right track. It is more of an offensive league. But I don't think you can have a bad defense. Got to have a decent defense.
Okay, Joe, with all our defense, outside of Bradberry, because I think it's the consensus that he probably won't be a starter next year.
I would hope.
This defense was incompetent. Would you agree with that? Would you agree that this defense looked like they were incompetent?
Yeah.
That's coaching.
But, okay, so I thought late in the year with Patricia, they did look confused and incompetent. Early in the year, I didn't think they looked confused. I thought they just
didn't.
Weren't good.
They didn't. They were decent. They were decent.
Against bad quarterbacks.
Yeah, but they were still like, when you look at the quarterbacks in the league now, Joe, we got five new young quarterbacks that are coming in.
Yeah, or maybe six. If Bo Nix is
well, yeah, good. Yeah, we got six young guys that it would be safe to say that they're going to be thrown into situations where they're probably going to drown. Like, everybody's not going to be C.J. Stroud.
Sure.
C.J. Right. Stroud, to me, is the outlier because of his coach, because of his young coach that walked off the field, 10 years ago?
Yeah, maybe one or two of these five or six becomes really good.
As much as we talk about Caleb Williams and how good he is, he's going to struggle in Chicago. That's almost a guarantee. He's going to struggle in Chicago. He might have games where he's going to flash, but I think they're going to be lucky in Chicago to win seven games. That'd be lucky.
Then they won seven last year with Fields.
Yeah, that'd be lucky to win seven games.
People would be disappointed if they only won seven.
Yeah, they would be lucky to win seven games. So they're going to struggle. So with that being said, you don't know what – we got something in our quarterback. Give him as many weapons as we can, man, and let's see how it plays out.
All right, I have a theory, and I'm not saying this is my theory about you, but I have a theory about all the people that want another wide receiver. I sense a little insecurity about Jalen. That people think he needs more help.
No, listen.
The great quarterbacks don't need this much help.
Listen.
They don't.
It's not me being insecure.
No, I didn't think you are. I just sense it out there.
It's me reading, again, the tea leaves.
Yeah.
They went out and they overpaid for a running back who his own team didn't want to pay. Right. We've been looking for a running back for the last couple of years. We re-signed Skinny Batman. There has been rumors that we're going to go out and get another receiver. That tells me everything that I need to know. If anything, if the Eagles go out and do what I think they're going to do, it just validates everything that I think, that they feel that, like, the more weapons that Jalen has, the better he'll be. Because let me tell you the one thing that I did not see him do last year that probably the Eagles are probably trying to put him in a position to do. I don't remember seeing him throw the checkdowns too much.
Not often, no.
I never remember seeing any checkdowns. Everything I saw was damn the torpedoes, yeah. Throw it down the field. Brock Bowers is a checkdown tight end, in my opinion. If you go get Brock Bowers, you're giving Jalen Hurts an outlet, and you're letting those receivers go. You're putting everybody down the field, and you're giving him a young tight end or Dallas Goedert that's going to be guaranteed a one-on-one. To allow him to throw the check down. That's what that is.
And I'm not saying it wouldn't help. I mean, certainly would help Jalen Hurts. So this is the difference. Hugh's reading tea leaves. I'm reading box scores. You know what I see? Sam Howell, 397 yards and four touchdowns. A 114 pass rating.
I refuse to live in the past.
Howell's not any good. And he did that to the Eagles defense last year. He's not any good. Baker Mayfield is average. And he did similar things to the Eagles defense in
Baker
the playoff
Mayfield
game.
Well, the Eagles got Baker Mayfield paid.
Yeah, so. Yeah, they did.
Yeah, I mean,
I'm trying to go beat the 49ers and the Lions and Jordan Love and then maybe Patrick Mahomes in the Super Bowl. I need some guys that could cover.
So are you not insecure about Jalen Hurts?
Not to the level that people that he needs on the weapon. He has plenty to win here.
Not being insecure about Jalen Hurts would be insane. I think if the smartest thing the Eagles can do is be insecure about Jalen Hurts.
Well, okay.
I think this, the best thing they did by getting Jalen Hurts was because they were insecure about Carson Wentz.
And that's fine. And I think, you know, I'm always kind of insecure about the quarterback because that's what happens, right?
But
I think there's a level of, okay, he has more than enough to score enough points to win. Yeah. And they've done that.
Maybe not.
I think they showed their insecurity by signing the running back.
If they're going to be an average defense, which I think they will be at best, then their best path to winning is by being the most unstoppable offense they can possibly be.
Yeah, I think that's pretty unstoppable anyway. If they click and Jalen plays well, they should score 27 points a game. I mean, I'm not worried about the offense not having enough weapons. JB and Chestnut Hill, what's up, JB?
Yo, what's up, guys? Great show as usual.
Thank you, JB. What are you feeling?
So I think I'm premising my opinion on what they're going to do with this whole idea of them moving up in the draft.
Mm-hmm.
It can't have anything to do with a receiver, and here's why. We've seen the bumps and a little bit of the, you know, the scabs between our diva wide receiver, who we love. You can't bring another hot chick into the fold. You already got two hot chicks.
You can't bring
a third one in. You can't. Like, it's
going
to
get messy.
It's going to get messy. Like, you just can't. Like, Chad Ochocinco had TJ Houshmandzadeh. If you brought a third guy in, they'd start fighting over, you know, Carson back in the day, the other Carson Palmer. Anyway, my point is, I think if they move up, what is the biggest regret they've had? And we've all talked about it's, man, Micah Parsons got away. Man, mm-hmm. Micah would have been great with this team. So, and if you have Nick Fangio and you have this incredible mind with a defense that, let's admit, like, up front, they were horrendous from 2 years ago to this year. Like, the drop-off was insane. So I think you go, and I think if they do package to move up, they draft another guy named Dallas. And Dallas Turner from Bama, he's so long, he's so strong, he's so fast. And I think Howie, as we know, is like the best used car salesman on the planet, right? Like, he's the Mercedes guy who can sell you an Infiniti while you're there because he's got, you know, he's the Wayne Brady, like all the analogies. Like, he's got door number 1, 2, 3, and 4. And, you know, if they move up and they can get, look, Brock Bauer, if they can move up and get him, of course they're going to get him, right? That's a no-brainer. But if they move up, it's like, okay, door number 1, Dallas Turner from Alabama. Door number 2, Jared Verse, who has the most violent hands. I know I sound like Mel Kiper right now, but he has the most violent hands. He's the edge rusher from Florida State. Dude was literally picking up the strong side tackle of Georgia and dumping him on his caboose.
Yeah, JB, there's some. I know that we're not having connected the Eagles to these guys. You are right now, but there's some good rushers in this draft. I mean, Verse and Turner. I know Latu has all those injury in the past, but Latu could play too.
Yeah, but Latu plays on, like, you know, I'm speaking to Hugh on this, the old school Pac-12,
yeah,
which nobody plays defense on.
Yep.
Like, that's like a tallest midget contest. Like, you can't be like, oh, he's the best guy on the edge on
Pac-12.
The defense that nobody plays defense on.
The Pac-12 defenses have gotten better.
Well,
though,
Washington the title game, but you're right. It's different. JB, I agree with you, though. If Howie goes up, I think it's for a premium position. JB, good phone call. And one they need help at, corner.
That was funny.
Offensive line. Yeah, it is. And we all do this thing where we act like Mel Kiper the day before the draft. And we got Spike with the YouTube big board. He's watching YouTube and ranking
players.
No, but
it was funny when he said he has violent head. Like, that, like, somebody's been watching a lot of YouTube.
YouTube or Mel Kiper.
Listen, ain't nothing wrong with that, man, because we all do it. Like, everybody, because a lot of these kids, you know, we watch a lot of college football, but, you know, you really don't dive into who's going to get picked and all the other stuff and to this time of year. So ain't nothing wrong with that.
Yeah, and if we're being fair, like, we watch, like, I like college football. I watch the big games, but I'm not watching every Saturday to see Jared
Wake
Verse.
Wake Forest against Florida State on a Saturday at 1. Ain't nobody watching that.
No, but
you go for the premium games.
Yes. And then when it comes time to this time, we're all catching up on who the heck's Quinyon Mitchell and why he's so good at Toledo.
Yeah, yeah, that's what it is, and seeing what he's done at his school or whatever, respectfully. So, yeah, it's like that. But it's a fun time, man, because it's the time where your team gets to upgrade their positions.
Of course.
And it's a time where you get a chance to see what the young kids are going to come in and do. That's it. That's it. That's all.
Well, that's why the next 2 days are awesome, because the Eagles' future is really, in essence, on the line here. I mean, Howie hits this, it adds to what they have. If they miss, sets them back. 215-592-9494. Right back to your phone calls on the draft here. Would you be upset if they used the first pick to trade up for a pass catcher, wide receiver, or Brock Bowers? I think it's nuts. I think it's crazy. I got these guys in here telling me this is the smart play. What
smart
are we
play,
doing?
Man.
All right, we'll also hit a midweek non-sports take and the fallout from the Sixers game two loss, the two-minute report, what Maxi said about it, and is this series salvageable? All coming up next, Midday Show on Sports Radio 94 WIP.
QC Kinetics right here for you, people. The future of medicine is here at QC Kinetics. QC is the nation's leader in the most exciting revolution in pain management we've seen in decades, regenerative medicine. If you are tired of achy joints, if your joint pain is keeping you from doing what you love, you need to call QC Kinetics right now. Surgery, steroids, drugs, they are no longer your best options. Regenerative medicine is the way to go at QC Kinetics, and is transforming lives with innovative treatments that deliver lasting results. We're talking natural biologics here, people. Using your body's own power to repair and restore damaged tissue. QC Kinetics is under the leadership of National Medical Director, Dr. Mitchell Shinecup. Dr. Shinecup is a pioneer in this field with over 20 years of clinical work, tons of research, teaching, publishing, et cetera, et cetera. He wants to get you relief with a needle and not a knife. Call QC Kinetics now to learn more about these exciting options. This is a revolutionary approach that gets you long-term relief with no downtime. Call QC Kinetics now for a free consultation at 215-999-3000, 215-999-3000. One more time, 215-999-3000. QC Kinetics.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice cold reward. Medella, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
How do you try to bounce back as you guys head home and try to turn this thing around?
So, you know, we're good. We're going to win this series. You know, we're going to win this. We know what we got to fix. We did a better job today, so we're going to fix it. But we're the better team.
That's what I'm talking about, Joel. Speak your truth.
Well, he spoke it the other night. Joel Embiid not messing around saying they're going to win the series. Welcome back, Midday Show, 215-592-9494. All right, we'll get back to all your phone calls on the Eagles here. And would you be upset if they draft a pass catcher in the first round, trade up for one? That's the rumor out there this morning, ESPN. They could trade up for a receiver or Brock Bowers in the first round. I just think the whole thing is crazy talk here. But the Sixers, tomorrow night, we get a game number three. What did you think of it? Would you like that Joel Embiid said that?
Yes, I do. I like that he said it. Now he has to go out and he has to prove it. He's put pressure on himself. No question about that. He's put a lot of pressure on himself. And a lot of people are looking at him probably like, ho-hum, you know, we've heard this before. But since I've been here, I don't remember him having that kind of bravado.
I don't either. No.
You know, and he, listen, man, Joel Embiid is dealing with a lot. And that's not an excuse. That's just a fact. When you talk about something's going on with his eye and the fact that, you know, he's trying to fight through all of this, for him to come out and make that declaration, I think that was pretty big for him.
Yeah, I liked it too. I mean, I think it showed that he's got to show confidence. If they're going to show confidence, they can come back in the series. Now, do I believe him? Like, do I deep down believe they're going to come back and win the series? I don't right now. I mean, they have to win four of the next five. Or, I mean, think about what they have to do there. They either have to win four in a row or win a game seven up there in New York. That's challenging. I mean, that's hard to do that. My guess is they're probably not going to win this series, but I expect them to win tomorrow night, and then Sunday will be pivotal that they get this thing back to 2-2. I like that Embiid said that. Now, here's something I don't like. The two-minute report came out yesterday from the NBA. They do this where they kind of go back and relook at the calls they made. Did they get them right? Did they get them wrong? Well, they admitted they made some mistakes.
Not
here.
My bad.
Yeah,
a lot
of my bads here. So here's the report from the Sixers-Knicks game two. Anunoby should have been called for a defensive 3 seconds. Embiid should have been called for a foul on DiVincenzo. Brunson and Hart were both not called for fouls on Maxey. And Nurse should have been granted a timeout. So all the frustration yesterday, which you had a lot of, Hugh, with the referees, it mostly came to fruition where they were like, yeah, we screwed that up.
Yeah, but this is the reality of the situation. Not going to change nothing.
Nothing.
Can't get everybody back in the garden to replay that game. Can't replay the game. But it does put the referees on alert for tomorrow night, though. Definitely does that. And that's all you can ask for, man. Just go out and just play your game. And I think there was something where Tyrese Maxey said the same thing. Man, you can't leave it in the referee's hands.
Yeah, I like that he said that.
Yeah, just learn from your mistakes and go out there and do better. That's all you can do. It's not over.
Let's hear from Maxey, because yesterday he got the Most Improved Player Award, which he obviously, you know, was one of the favorites all year, and he deserved an incredible jump he took this year. But he was asked about that, and I really like this approach and this mentality for Maxey, because they got to move on. I mean, we could scream and yell. They got to move on and get ready for game three. Here was Maxey last night on TNT.
Yeah, I mean, I got to be strong with the ball. I got to be able to, like, when I get on the floor, I got to be able to just hug it and call a timeout. But, I mean, it is what it is. Like, it happened. We got to let it go. I mean, you can't dwell on it now. If we dwell on it, then, you know, in a couple days, we'll be down 0-3. We don't want to be down 0-3. You know what I mean? We know that we can still win this series. We got to go out there and prove that to everybody, not just ourselves. And it starts today, letting that go. And then tomorrow at practice, and then as soon as the ball goes up on Thursday, being a tougher team, not just physically, but mentally as well. I mean, we still had a chance to win the game. I got my layup blocked, and then, you know, we missed a three at the end to tie. So we can't dwell on that. We can't leave the games in other people's hands. We got to go out there and take it.
I'm glad he said it the way he did. Like, all right, it's out now. The two-minute report is out, and everyone knows that the NBA admitted they made mistakes.
My bad.
I like that Tyrese said, I still got to hold on to the ball. Like, yeah, I might have got fouled twice. I can't go to the floor and let the ball roll away. He's totally right on that. Like, that's in his control, and unfortunately, he didn't handle it well at the end. He got a shot blocked. Then Embiid missed the three. They didn't box out. All those things are true. It does feel, between Embiid and Maxey, I feel a good mentality, despite a big hole they're in. Like, I'm glad that Maxey and them, they don't seem to be dwelling on the other night. They got to move on.
Growth. That's the biggest thing, Joe, is because I heard Spike saying this the other day when he was talking about Maxey has to grow up in the next 2 days.
Mm-hmm.
Sound like that's what he's trying to do. He's being reflective on his role in the way things played out. And that's always good, knowing where you probably could have been better. Couldn't have been, you know, you could have been better by not waiting around for a foul call, you know. Be more aggressive to the bucket. Hell, take the last shot.
Definitely.
Take the last shot. You know, you have to be better in situations like that. And so I think they learn from their mistakes, and I like the fact that Joel Embiid is probably, you know, these 2 days are going to help him out. So, yeah, I'm still bullish on the Sixers. Yeah, I like their chances.
I expect an inspired effort tomorrow night. I'm not confident they're going to win this series, but I do expect a win tomorrow night. I mean, I expect them to come out, play well tomorrow. And NBA series typically go like this. The team goes up 2-0 at home. You go back for game three. Unless it's like a huge mismatch, which this isn't, then usually that, you know, the team that's down 0-2 gets a game at home. I expect that tomorrow night. 215-592-9494. Well, last thing on this, the two-minute report, does it – like, I understand why they do it, and I think it's good to hold the referees accountable, and, like, the NBA should tell them, hey, you messed up here, so they know it.
Mm-hmm.
But does it do anything for it to be public? I just, like, all it does is
makes you feel better.
Does it? Well, I don't feel any better.
Do
you feel better? You knew yesterday they screwed up.
I don't feel
I
better.
Didn't think you did.
But
we all knew they screwed up a day ago.
I don't feel better. But I think it's designed to help you get the calls tomorrow night. I mean, because the ref's going to be alert. And, you know, if I was playing, I'd be like, yo, ref, you see that L2M report?
That's on you.
That's what you did to us last time. Don't do us the way you did us last time. And I'll be pointing with this, like the finger. Probably wouldn't put my hands on it because that would probably put you in a bad spot.
Yeah,
but just say, hey, ref, come on. Or be nice about it. Be like, yo, dog, y'all jobbed us the other night. Don't do us like this tonight. We at home, you know, and, you know, just look out for your boy, like a little bit.
Kyle, you feel better? The 2-minute report is out?
Hell no. No. Like you said, I mean, I knew that we got jobbed anyway. And it almost feels like a kind of like a little pat on the head. Like, there you go. You can have this. Like, we still don't get the game. Right. I don't care. Like, changes nothing.
We're not going back to New York to finish this game.
No.
It's like people are like, well, the Sixers are going to protest the game. And protest what? Like, when you protest something, you want change.
You ain't got time to be protesting. Ain't nobody got time for to be sitting out there picking in the game.
Bust everyone back up to New York, replay the last 30 seconds.
It's not going to happen.
No, it's not going to happen. They're going to tip tomorrow night and play game three with the Sixers down 0-2. 215-592-9494. Let's go to the phone lines here. Rob is in Delco. Hey, Rob.
Joseph, Hugh, what's up, boys?
Hey, Rob.
What's going on, man?
What's up, pal?
Hey, listen, I'll touch the Eagles first and with the Sixers, if that's okay.
Mm-hmm.
Listen, I love the idea of going after a pass catcher, or like whether it's Brock Bowers, whether it's a top wide receiver, because you know why, Joe? I just need this defense. And Hugh, what do you think? With the moves they made right now, do you think they could be middle of the pack with the moves they made and with Vic Fangio coming in, running the show? Do you think they could be middle of the pack?
Yes.
Okay, that's all they need to be for me, Joe. Middle of the pack. With the weapons they got, adding Saquon, you get me Brock, or you get me one of these top wide receivers, I think that's fine, Joe. I think that's more than enough to make a deep run and bring another Lombardi home here, don't you, Joe?
Well, middle of the pack, sure.
Middle of the pack. Yeah. That's all they need to be, Joe.
Yeah, well, if the offense is great, yes, middle of the pack could work. I have reservations, though, Rob, about middle of the pack. N'Kobe Dean, Devin White. I'm not, James Bradbury, Rob. I can't do a James Bradbury year again.
Joe, they just got to score 35 for me a game. That's all. Just score 35 for me a game. You know what it comes back to you? The quarterback. That's what it comes back to.
It's all about the quarterback, man.
He
gave him $200 million.
Yo, if he even plays close to it, okay?
$200 million. 90%
of what he played that year. We're going back to the Super Bowl with this offense. We just will.
$50 million.
Hugh, you know me. Go big or go home.
Go
the Sixers are not only going to win the game, the series, they're going to win it in six. They're winning four.
Yeah, I'm with you on that. That's
you said
what I
that
said.
Yesterday.
Yeah, I said that the other day. In six.
Win in six. That's right. Like Moses, Joe. Full. They're going to win four games in a row, and they're gonna end these Knicks. Because you know what? If that was us and those type of fans, the way they're acting out there with the chanting and this and yelling at, and then B, when he was laying on the ground, I heard clapping. I heard people cheering in the background. Again, I can't stand them. I can't say anything about the Knicks. You know what I want, Hugh? I want DiVincenzo to go down the lane, and I want Embiid to knock him on his ass. That's what I want. Don't get in foul trouble. If he's got a chance to knock him on his rear end, knock him on his rear end. Send a message, Joe. This is how it's going to be from now on.
You know about that, Rob. You might get hurt.
Yeah, we can't have him getting hurt.
I'm not saying to hurt him.
But Rob, to your point.
I don't want Joel Embiid to get hurt.
Well, that's true. To your point, Rob, on this, though, I noticed this in a lot of postseasons the last few years. Is I think other players in the league respect Joel's skill, but I don't know if they consider him tough. Like, I would love Joel to push back a little bit because DiVincenzo goes right after him. Hart goes right after him. Like, I like your idea. Make sure those guys know they're not going in the lane tomorrow night. Like, knock them down right away. I like that.
Yeah, you know what, Joe? You know what? You send Obama in there, Reed, knock one of them in, then take him back out of the game.
Old school goons. Like, I feel like we're in like hockey now. Rob, good phone call. Yeah, like, look, Joel is smart about staying out of foul trouble for the most part. He rarely fouls out of games. A lot of bigs, you know, will have a lot of fouls in of a game. He's smart about it,
mm-hmm.
but I wouldn't mind that. If Josh Hart tries to go right at him to the lane, knock
him
down.
Give him some chicken. Yeah, you got to give out a little chicken. Definitely give out a little chicken. But I don't want to get hurt, though.
Is that different than the biggest piece of chicken?
Yeah, it's like a little chicken, like a wing.
A wing.
Yeah, like a flipper. You want to give him a flipper.
Chickens have flippers?
Yeah, well, you know what I'm saying, a little chicken wing. Like this, the chicken wing or a flipper. You know what I'm saying?
But like, chickens don't have flippers.
No, but I'm saying it could be like you could. It's either a chicken wing or a flipper.
Oh, or a flipper.
Yeah.
Okay, I just want to make sure we're on the same page with the flippers and the wings.
No, you're looking at me like, what the hell are you talking about?
Smoking
crack is
flipper.
Like a great high. Don't do that, Kyle. Don't do that. We've been doing so well today without that. But no, see, like when you do the elbow, you see what I'm doing.
Yeah, it's
nobody,
a wing.
Nobody. I got my arm kind of folded, people. That's the wing.
Yeah, and then the flippers.
Or it could be a flipper. You
but
see what I'm saying?
What's the difference between the wing and the flipper?
Well, it just all depends on how you look at it.
Okay.
You know what I mean? Because it could be like, you could say it's like, because it's folded, it's the chicken wing.
This all depends on your mood.
Or if you want, it could be a flipper. You know, like when you flip it up, it's like you flip
it. So the movement.
Yeah, the flipper.
So the wing is just like an arm that's like that, but then you flip it up.
Yeah, but like, you know, or if you could throw the bow, like, you know, hit him with a bow.
You got to be careful with the technical foul on that, though.
Yeah, you got to, that's why you hit him with the flipper.
I think after all this, we need to call to say he was right. Jerry's up next. What's up, Jerry? Jerry, you with us?
Hello, yeah.
Hey, hi. Jerry. What do you think, bud?
So what I think is the hip drop tackle is going to change the way the NFL works. I think you're going to see a couple of teams with more than a couple of teams with 70-plus touchdowns. And having a bulked-up Smith, you have I mean, the wide receiving core, you run two tight end sets with Goddard. You have and you get a guy like Brock, and I think you're in pretty good shape.
Wait a minute, a bulked up who? Devontae?
Yes.
Yeah, I did see the – who was it? It was Chad Ochocinco said that Devontae's been bulking up this offseason.
Said 190. Man, he's
hold
huge.
Hold up, dog. Hold up. How much bulking up this young man going to do in 3 months?
Well, maybe he goes from 170 to 178.
You're saying. Okay.
But I think yards after the catch is really the key.
I'm just saying.
Yeah, I mean, if he could break more tackles, it would just make him that much better.
8 pounds on him, though.
Well, compared to what he is now, 8 pounds is a big jump.
Saying, 8 pounds. Is it really a big jump for him, though?
I think it will be.
I'm 178. I'm pushing.
Well, as a smaller guy, yeah, 8-10 pounds is a lot on us.
I get it. It's just funny to hear that.
I know, but like if Kyle or I put on 15 pounds, you'd notice it.
Yeah, I'd be an NFL wide receiver.
Yeah, exactly.
I don't think Kyle put on 15 pounds, it would go noticed. But I don't think it would be noticed that much.
Well, 15 pounds.
After the first few weeks, when people start getting fined, you're going to see a lot of arm tackles.
Jerry, I'm interested to see, and Jerry, good phone call there. So he's with you guys because he thinks the hip drop tackle is going to change the NFL. So it might. I mean, it's obviously going to be hard for these defenders. I don't know how in the open field you're supposed to tackle anymore. You go low, they get you for a penalty. You go up, obviously, by the head, they get you for a penalty. Now you go by the midsection, and it's a hip drop tackle.
Yeah, they got to figure that out. And that's going to be something that is going to be a huge mystery. In the preseason.
Sometimes they'll do that thing where they'll overcall it in the preseason.
Oh, it's definitely going to be overcalled. That's how they do things, because what they want to do is it gets overcalled in the preseason so that when the season starts, it's in everybody's head. Mm. That's why you do it. You overcall it or something. Because you remember, what was it, the roughing the passer, when they changed it, it was overcalled in the preseason. And then when the season came, it wasn't called as much because they want to emphasize that. You know what it's going to be? It's going to be something that they're going to be looking for.
Let's go to Ken, who's up next. What's up, Ken? Ken, you with us, pal? Ken going once. All right, you know what? Let's just do it. We'll get him out of the way. We'll talk to him right now, and then we'll move on with our day. Cowboy Jim is on WIP. Hey, Cowboy Jim.
Hugh Douglas, it'd be okay to date like 3 girls at a time because they're fighting over you. So you don't have to spend that much money. So, yeah, 3 girls. I think you should date 3 at a time.
How about that D,
you know,
baby?
What, Ken? I mean, Jim, at this point in my life, I'd be happy just to date one. I mean, man, all I need is one. I don't need, I'm not greedy. I just one.
Let them fight for you. Let them fight for you, okay? All right, let's start with the Sixers first here. Let's stop this cheerleading for the Sixers. If by some miracle Peg Leg and the Boy Wonder pull out a series win, they're just going to have to play better teams. Stick a fork in it, it's over. It ain't over till the fat lady sings, but she's been humming all day.
A ray of sunshine on the Sixers. I mean, Jim, yeah, we all recognize it's 2-0 is a problem. They're down 2-0. It's a problem. But do we need the peg leg jokes here? Do we really need that?
0-14. They're 0-14 when it comes to taking 2-0, okay? And this I love it. This Willis Reed comparison with Embiid. Oh, I'm sure Embiid would have been just fine taking on Wilt Chamberlain. That would have been just great.
Yeah, that wouldn't have worked out great.
Hey, Joe, guess what time it is?
What time?
It's Cowboy Jim Talk with the Dallas Cowboys. Let's get started on that.
Oh,
okay?
God.
All right, listen here. Dak Prescott, I think they're going to get rid of Dak Prescott. Why pay $55 million to him when what's his offensive line going to look like? You're going to have young, new guys there. I'm telling you, they're going to look for a CJ Stroud.
Are you talking yourself into a Cowboys rebuild? Is that what I'm hearing here?
They can still win the East even with a rebuild.
Look at the Eagles stink.
The Giants stink. The Commanders stink.
Stop. You're not getting a quarterback at 24 that's worth anything. All the top 5 quarterbacks are going to be gone.
We'll figure it out. We'll get a CJ Stroud or a Jordan
Love. He was the second pick in the draft.
The absolute
Stroud.
Glory hole.
Oh, Jim, you're in trouble. The Cowboys thing, Jim, we appreciate it. How about Jim talking himself into the Cowboys rebuild live on the air?
Kyle sent us something about what Jerry Jones said, I guess, the other day. Yeah, it's not. If I'm a Dallas fan, that does not make me feel comfortable.
Well, Jerry didn't really realize how much cap room they had or when they had cap room. They're a mess.
Listen, that's
sometimes
okay.
People forget.
Sometimes people are in their 80s and they don't know what they're doing.
No, but the thing of it is this. The kicker is this. You don't tell everybody. Because, like, and this is with all seriousness, because you're at that age now where people are going to start to question whether or not you're all there. Mm-hmm. Like, and so when you do stuff like that, that's the first thing that comes. Like, your son's sitting there, and I'm pretty sure he's like, damn, Dad, why'd you have to tell?
No, like, his son's looking at, like, I'm taking this operation
fully
over. But
that's what I'm saying. Like you're looking at him like, you sat there in the press conference and say, hey, I don't know what's going on. That's not a good look, dude. Not a good look at all.
Tell the upper room is gone.
In the upper room.
All right, I had a different one. I had a different mid-show, midweek take. Let's do it right now because I just thought of one that I think is applicable to every phase of life. Let's do it. All right. The midday, midweek, mid-show take, sponsored by Matplat Mitsubishi. Give Matplat an at-bat. Listen, I don't mean this in any specific areas. Right? Don't take it as in just one lane. I mean it in all lanes. I mean, you can't be you shouldn't be able to have a major role in any sort of big picture thing if you're in your mid-80s. I mean, in your 80s. Like, I remember my grandfather was in his 80s. You know what we did? We took away his keys. I'm serious. We convinced him that they take away. You have to re-go and do your license again. And then, but like he never went to do it. But we convinced him you're not allowed to drive anymore because those are the rules.
You treat him like a drunk guy.
Yeah. Well,
like
we had to for his safety. I mean, he was getting lost. Right, I mean, right. It was sad at that point. Like, but that's Jerry Jones now. I just think. I mean, like if you're self-employed or you do something like. I don't know, like you're a painter or something, an artist. You want to keep working into your 80s and 90s and you feel healthy? Great. But you can't be in charge of a company in your 80s.
It all depends on how sharp your mind is.
No. But everyone thinks they're sharp. No one knows they're not sharp until it's over. It's too late.
Yeah, I guess that's true.
We got to make rules here.
I guess that's true.
Like, Hugh's just worried because this feels like a glimpse into his near future.
No, listen.
If I get to that point, I will relinquish all the keys and whatnot.
Will you go back on the idea that old people are cool?
No, I will not. I would be like, I would be the coolest old guy because at that point, I assume that I have grandkids. So, I'll be the coolest grandpa on the planet. Like, for real.
Yeah, and I don't know if the number is 80 is it closer to 85. We'll come up with that. But there's got to be a number where we all say, all right, let's just hand it off to the next person.
Just give them a blanket, like, cognitive ability test when you turn 80.
And like the again, driver's test when you're 16.
Yep, and then you have to do it every 2 years after that.
Boy, that would be rough on the 84-year-old who realizes, like, it's not.
But I don't think Jerry would take that test, though.
A worse and worse score
every
year.
Could you imagine Jerry takes the test live on TV or radio?
Oh, Jerry's not taking that test.
What have I done to deserve this?
Jerry's going to cheat.
And if he does take it and the outcome is not what he wanted to be, I want to see Jerry Jones have a full-on meltdown.
Cheating might show more cognitive competence.
I agree.
If anything,
I respect that. Like, at least you're still all there.
Found a way around.
Cheat your way to win. We got to do something with this because it's. I mean, I want Jerry to stay in power with the Cowboys as long as possible. But there's something going on there. I mean, he doesn't know anything going on with that team right now. It's
yeah,
a mess.
Bugging.
He is. Will in the Northeast up. Hey, Will.
Gentlemen, how y'all doing today?
What's up, Will?
Hey, Jerry. You remember when Jerry said he all in this season? He must have forgot.
Yeah, he said when he sat up there. I felt like I seriously felt bad for him because it's like, how you going to sit there and admit you don't know what the cap room is? Like, you don't know what the cap is. That's not – it's not a good look, man. Not a good look at all.
Right. I know. But I want to talk a little bit of the Eagles. I think, and I totally agree. I really think this is going to be the test for Jalen, and I keep saying it because they loading him up. Now, they're going to give him all these weapons. And what I love about it, yes, let the offense battle it out. I mean, because as you seen last season, the best defense played the best offense, and who came out on top?
The offense, the quarterback.
Exactly. So, you know, I want to go, you know, blow for blow, shot for shot with Patrick Mahomes, if that's what it comes down to. I also believe that they really need to, like, really – coach Jalen. Like, and what I need them to do is have that bread and butter play. Have that check down play that's guaranteed. If we need three, if we need five, that's what Brady and you know, Peyton, all them great quarterbacks done. They always had a great check down player. You know what I'm saying? And that's what we got to develop. And the last thing with the Sixers is, listen, okay, the refs messed up. And guess what? Don't think just because we home, we going to get the calls that we didn't get last game and all that. We got to play to win, man. Like all that, you know.
Will, no question. You're right on that. They can't expect them. I think they'll get more calls tomorrow. But Will, good phone call. They can't expect them. 215-592-9494. It is how you op aboard on this Wednesday, the eve of the NFL draft. There's rumors out there. This morning, ESPN, the Eagles can move up for a receiver or Brock Bowers. This is insanity. I'm guessing our next guest is going to be on board with this nonsense. Elliot Shore Park is going to join us in studio. He's been banging the drum for a receiver for a while now. I think he's crazy, too. Well, Elliot will join us. All your phone calls well on the Eagles. Do you give the Sixers a chance? Do you like that Embiid basically guaranteed they're going to win the series? 215-592-9494. We'll get to everyone's phone call on the Midday Show. Sports Radio 94 WIP.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.